I only weigh about 120 pounds, and these cows weigh tons, and I'm just trying to milk them, and if somehow or other, what if they're not in a good mood, they will just, with their powerful rear legs, just kick right into the bucket and throw the bucket away, just kick it away. And if the cowherd boy tries to stop it, then the aim of the kick is toward the cowherd boy. So I was always getting kicked. And the buckets were always getting kicked. And I was always fighting against these kicks, trying to milk. And because I was a new person there, they always gave me the most ornery, undisciplined cows that kicked the most. The senior cowherd boys, they always milk the very nice ones. The ones that just eat their grass. But for me, because nobody liked me very much anyway, they would give me a... And it was a battle. And there was one cow who was the biggest cow I ever saw. Her name was Himavati. At one time, she was giving 165 pounds of milk a day. And she was like a mountain. She was like a black and white mountain. Srila Prabhupada came one year, I think it was 74, and he walked behind Himavati during the milking time. And he saw her milk bag. This wide, this long. No exaggeration. Maybe this much. And we had to milk her three times a day because there was just so much milk there. And you had to milk her out every time. And they just bucket after bucket after bucket. We had two people, Kaladri and myself, would milk. And it was like this. And when you'd squeeze them, in India I've seen it goes psss, and they go like with their fingers, they go psss, 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 psss. Have you ever seen? In India they mostly go psss, 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 psss. But Himavati was the stream was like thick stream, and it would just come down with such force that it would be splashing in your face as you're milking, and the bucket would just fill up this speed. Then you'd have to have all these other empty buckets just next by and keep switching and switching. So when Prabhupada saw that milk bag, there's a photo. You may have seen the photo. If you didn't see it, please see it. Prabhupada was so amazed to see a milk bag like this. Just to see if it was actually real, he took his cane and poked it. Very gently, he was just going, just like pushing into it with his cane. And while he was doing it, his eyes went just in amazement. And the photo was taken just then. Very special. So she gave milk for many years. But one time she got her milk bag caught in some thorns. And then we had to milk her, because if you don't take the milk out, it's very painful and they get diseases and everything. So you have to get the milk out. So I had to milk her. So they gave her to me, obviously. And boy, did she kick. She really kicked. So one day, during the evening, devotees were drinking milk and reading Krishna book. That used to be how we'd end every day. All over ISKCON. Yes, this was an international tradition. Where after doing your book distribution all day, or working in the fields, or doing your Bhaktivedanta Institute, or whatever you did all day, managing, everybody would come together and drink hot milk, sometimes with crushed up bananas in it, and we just listened to Krishna book. So one night I was hearing Krishna book, and Prabhupada explained how the cowherd boys were decorated when they were herding the cows along with Krishna and Balaram in the pastures of Vrindavan. They would decorate their hair with peacock feathers. They would take the various minerals of the grounds of Vrindavan and decorate their bodies. And they would take beautiful flowers and shrubs and creepers and make garlands and decorations. And each cowherd boy had a buffalo horn, a flute, a stick, and on their shoulder was a rope for tying the legs of the cows while milking them. When I heard that, I was so enlightened. That's it. Prabhupada told us everything is in his books. I'm trying to figure out how to stop these kicks when I'm milking the cows. There's the answer. You just tie their rear legs with a rope. Simple as that. This is shastric. This is parampara. So I was so excited. The next day, I went into Himavati, and I said, Himavati, today we're going to milk you according to the ancient tradition of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. I was telling her like this. And I got a real nice rope and tied it, not tight, but just very loosely, because you see, to kick, they can only kick with one leg at a time. So if their legs are tied together, they can't kick. So I was milking, and she was taking that one leg and trying to kick, but it was tied to the other, so it wasn't working. So I was feeling so happy. And I was milking her. I was alone, because she wasn't giving so much milk then. I was just milking, milking. And to my surprise, she kicked both of her legs back. And when she kicked both of her legs back, she fell right on top of me. Oh. I was laying under this, under Krishna's cow. She couldn't get up because she was trapped because her legs were backwards, so she couldn't possibly get up. They were all the way behind her. And I couldn't get out because I was being crushed. Arivo. I learned a very important lesson on that day. Never try to imitate the residents of Vrindavan. It's very, very dangerous for our spiritual lives to to imitate the residents of Vrindavan. We must follow in their footsteps, but never imitate. So I tried to imitate, and didn't work. So somehow or other, I struggled and struggled and struggled, and she didn't want to be laying on me. She was struggling to get up, and she couldn't get up, and I was struggling to get out, and I couldn't get out. And somehow or other, I squeezed out, and then I untied her legs, and I pushed her and got her up again, and she started licking me very nicely. So it was worth it all to get licked by Himavati. But all the milk was everywhere. Mostly on me. So Yashoda Mai took these nice silk ropes, and she, 2 inches, 2 fingers too short. So she got more rope and tied it to the original rope, 2 fingers too short. More rope, tied it to that rope, still the width of 2 fingers too short. Actually, Krishna has no inside and no outside. Everything is within Krishna. Nothing is outside of Krishna that exists. He has no beginning and no end. Krishna is beyond past, present, and future. Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is all-pervading. How could you bind Krishna to a rope? So Krishna wanted to prove that. So however many ropes she put, it was always two fingers too short. Soon she used all the rope of her house, and the gopis were just watching and laughing. And Yashoda Mai said, bring your own ropes. And all the older gopis brought all the ropes from their homes. At the beginning, the rope was only about 2 feet too short. 2 feet long. There were hundreds and hundreds of ropes tied. Srila Prabhupada explains, the ropes became hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet long. And it was still the same distance, two fingers, too short. And the inconceivable subject of this matter, of the matter of the subject, was that Gopal's waist did not grow any. It was still the same little small waist. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet of rope still could not go around it. Yashoda Mai and the gopis were utterly astounded to see this amazing, miraculous event. It became a festival of ropes. They were just bringing all the ropes of Braj and tying, tying, tying. They were laughing and smiling. But Lord Krishna saw Yashoda Mai was working so hard. The flowers were falling. She was perspiring. She was working so hard trying to protect her Gopal. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who cannot be bound by anything or anyone, agreed by his own sweet will to be bound by the rope of Yashoda Mai's love. Satyavrata Muni in the Padma Purana is offering a prayer in the presence of Narada Muni and others called Damodarastakam, wherein he is expressing his aspirations in life. Because I do not want the wealth of this world. I have no interest in even the wealth of the heavenly planets. I have no desire for the 8 mystic cities, miraculous powers. I have no interest in liberation into your eternal effulgence. I do not even care for residence in Vaikuntha. My only desire is this beautiful pastime of Damodar may forever be enacted within my heart of hearts. And he offers his obeisances to the rope of Yashoda Mai's love. The highest conclusions of all spiritual knowledge is to understand the inconceivable principle that the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord of all lords, is conquered by the love of his devotees. Not simply by the power of that love, but by his own will. Sri Dama, cowherd boy, defeats Krishna in wrestling. And Krishna tells Braj Gopis that you have conquered me. You have purchased me. I'm in debt to you. There is, even in 100 lifetimes of Lord Brahma, I cannot repay you for the love that you have given me. Krishna is subordinate. Krishna is a debtor. Krishna is conquered by the pure, simple love of the heart of a devotee. It was this entrance into the realm of this love that Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his life to give us. Here in 22nd Avenue of New York City, Lower East Side, Srila Prabhupada struggled so much. 70 years old, even 71 years old. Cooking, cleaning, preaching. To who? He had no disciples, he had no followers. Just a couple people were well-wishers at the beginning. He met Hayagriva Prabhu on Houston Street while walking down. And he brought Hayagriva here and said, please come and bring your friends. And they started coming for his classes. Mukunda Maharaj started coming for his classes. Gradually their hearts were transformed. Srila Prabhupada wanted to give this highest siddhanta, this highest revelation of how God, in his ultimate feature of Krishna, agrees to be subordinate, conquered by pure love. And Srila Prabhupada here in 22nd Avenue systematically taught how we could awaken that innate, natural, pure love from our hearts. Jeto darpana marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. In this age of Kali, the ultimate goal of life, prema bhakti, is easily accessible through the chanting of the holy names. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada called this the Hare Krishna movement, which has such deep meaning, the Hare Krishna movement. The chanting of the Maha Mantra, described in the Upanishads and Vedas, promoted by the Lord Himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Maha Mantra, its only true purpose is to awaken pure, ecstatic, spiritual love from the heart. Krishna is all attractive, but Krishna is attracted by the love of devotee. Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. He is the greatest teacher of the chanting of the holy names. He would chant 300,000 names every day before even eating or sleeping. And he did this throughout his life. And he was still out preaching. What a soul. Lord Chaitanya in the house of Srivas during the Mahaprakash Lila, he revealed to the world that I am a prisoner in the heart of Haridas Thakur. The Lord agrees to be the prisoner of the love of his devotee. It is that ecstatic, loving relationship with the Lord where the devotee is conquered by Krishna's love and Krishna is conquered by his devotee's love. But that is Goloka Vrindavan. That is the gift Srila Prabhupada gave to the world through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Haridas Thakur taught in a place called Chandpur, in Adi Saptagram. He taught that liberation is an insignificant byproduct of love of God. Through Nambas one can attain mukti, but the real treasure of the goal of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is prema bhakti, pure, unalloyed, ecstatic love for Krishna. And one who has that conviction, one who has that aspiration, is so very, very dear to Krishna. Prabhupada defined a pure devotee in different ways. Sometimes he defined a pure devotee as someone who is completely transcendental to the modes of material nature and has awakened bhava, or pure love for Krishna. But other times, Prabhupada explained to his disciples that you're all pure devotees. In other words, if someone is aspiring for that, they're not chanting the holy names and engaging in devotional service because they want fruitive material results. Nor do they chant the holy names and engage in devotional service because they want liberation from suffering or mystic potencies. Their ultimate aspiration, on the basis of Prabhupada's words and the words of our acharyas, we have faith that our only goal of life that we want is pure unalloyed devotion and love to Krishna, eternal service to Krishna. If that is your aspiration, Prabhupada said, that is another type of pure devotee. Because your aspiration, your ideal in life is pure. And if you follow the process by which it is just a matter of time, we're only separated by time until we attain the eternal abode of Vrindavan. This beautiful Leela of Krishna being bound by the love of Yashoda Mai is not only pleasing to the heart, and by hearing it, not only does it purify our consciousness, but it also gives us an ultimate aspiration in our life. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of those who love Krishna. And through this process, when we chant the holy names, Krishna and Sri Radharani will bless us with that love. Unless we understand the supreme gift that Prabhupada has come and sacrificed to give us, we cannot really be grateful to Srila Prabhupada for his unlimited mercy. So on this very auspicious evening where we are gathered together, let us try, according to our capacity, to pray for that gratitude to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And let us pray for the power of humility to express our gratitude in our words, our actions, and our thoughts. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now we will have kirtan.